Good evening. Good to see y'all here this evening. And anybody that happens to be online, if you would, stand if you can. We're going to start out by singing Made Me Glad with Praise the Name of Jesus. I will bless the Lord. grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. There's within my heart a melody, Jesus whispers sweet and low. Fear not, I am with thee, peace be still, in a love life's ebb and flow. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. All my life was wrecked by sin and strife, discord filled my heart with pain. Jesus swept across the broken
days, resting 'neath a sheltering wing, always looking on his smiling face. That is why I shout and sing, Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Soon he's coming back to welcome me, far beyond the starry sky. I shall wing my flight to worlds unknown, and I shall reign with him on high. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing and keeps me singing as I go.
Amen. He is here, hallelujah. He is here, amen. He is here, holy, holy. I will bless his name again. He is here, listen closely. Hear him calling out your name. He is here, you can touch him, you will never be the same. Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated, and please welcome Pastor Steve to the pulpit.
There, yeah, okay, very good. All right, outstanding. Good to see each and every one of you here tonight. Hope you're having a great week. And praise the Lord. We, well, at least here in this local area, we kind of dodged the bullet from that hurricane, tropical storm, ended up turning into a hurricane. Now, Ronnie and Alita, they're further south from us, and they had some power outage. You guys got more wind down there, didn't you? Yeah, your power was off for how long, do you think? But 2.5 hours, praise the Lord, came back on. Amen. I was praying. Boy, everybody's power would stay on. And then like 500,000 people, half a million people had no power. I think there's still maybe like, as of this morning, there was like 80,000 that still didn't have their power on in the area, so... And that's tough, tough, tough when you don't have electricity and it's this hot and humid. But praise the Lord, man. Any of you Magnolia people, Stagecoach people, you didn't lose your power, did you? No? Okay. Our power went off for maybe a minute and a half and then came back on. I was like shouting, glory, hallelujah. Amen. The power's back on. And then it flickered a couple times. I was like, and then I looked at my coffee pot and said, well, the coffee's made. It can go out for a little bit now. My coffee's brewed. It's early in the morning. My coffee's brewed. Okay, I guess it can go out a little bit, but it just flickered and stayed on. That's a praise, amen, that the hurricane, of course, it's just dumping rain on poor folks in Louisiana, Mississippi, and Alabama. It's still going. So, of course, it's just a low, a remnant low. It's not even a tropical depression anymore. But hurricane spared the majority of Houston. So that's a huge praise with everything else going on. What else? Praises tonight. Praises. Yes, ma'am. Oh, yeah, your wife's here. Sharon's here. That's good. Good word, man. Doing good. Sharon here. Amen. What else? Praises, praises. Anything else? Uh-huh. All right. Gene's kids are over the COVID. Amen, man. Over the COVID. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. What else? What else? Other praises? Yes, sir, in the back. All right, Jeremiah's in class. Continuing education for your work? Jeremiah. Continuing ed. All right, what else? What else? Anybody else? Praises? Anything? Okay. No more praises. All right, prayer requests. What's her last name?
Coody.
C-O-O-D-Y.
Yeah,
she's
a real good friend. You know, I've known her since I was a little kid. And my mom's worked with her for years.
Was she up in years? Was she an older?
Yeah, she's young.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Deborah Coody family in passing, we'll certainly pray for her. Do you know they have a church home? Or?
I don't remember where she was in church.
Okay.
Yeah,
the church.
Yeah,
so there's a faith community somewhere taking care of them. Amen. We hope. We hope, hope, hope. All right, other prayer requests. We'll remember that one. Yes, sir, brother.
Tony Holman, you got a call about politics and wanting him to come in, so he's scheduled on the 28th of this month. And the doctor went over the report and what the next step is.
Okay, oncology report coming. Report. On the 28th of September?
Yeah.
9/28/21. All right, Ronnie Holman, Paul McCormick, want to continue to pray for Brother Paul. His healing. All right, what else? Paul McCormick, got that. Other prayer requests, anything else? Yes, sir, in the back. Just personal issues. Yeah, amen, man. Try. Yeah. Right. All you can do is try on those deals. Yes, sir. All right, back here. Uh-huh. Johnny Hyman. Yeah. Okay. Let's see, COVID, possible pneumonia. All right, all right. What else? What else? Yes, sir, Ronnie. Yes. Okay. Cataracts. Yes, sir, we got it. Amen. What else? What else? Anything else? Okay. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Amen. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you this evening, Lord. We thank you for the blessings of life, and we thank you, Lord, for this great salvation that we have. And we're always eternally grateful, Lord, how you've called us out of darkness and brought us into the light, how you redeemed us and purchased us with the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord. Thank you for that, and thank you that we can be saved tonight, blood-bought, sealed for the day of redemption, headed for glory one day, Lord. We're so thankful. We're looking forward to that. We're thankful that we have a place to come and meet in tonight, and, Lord, it's dry and it's air-conditioned, and we just praise you for the incredible creature comfort that we have here tonight. And Lord, we just thank you that we come together, bear these burdens, bear one another's burdens, Lord, and just seek to be a concert of prayer tonight as we lift these things up, these praises and these requests. And Lord, we just pray that we be a vessel, a conduit for the Holy Spirit as we pray tonight. as we lift these things up. And Lord, we just seek to bring glory and honor to your name as we pray. And Lord, we want to pray believing in your power. We want to pray that you're the great physician. We want to pray, Lord, with everything within us that you're going to deliver and heal and help, Lord, as we lift these things up. And Lord, you're a sovereign God, and your timetable is not always our timetable, Lord, but we know that each of these individuals that we lift up, you have their best interests at heart, and that you're for them, not against them. And so, God, we don't understand everything that's going on, Lord, but we know that we can bring it to you, and we can lay it down at your feet. We know that we serve a great, mighty, and awesome God tonight. So, Lord, we praise you for that. And, Lord, we lift up these praises to you. We thank you, Lord, that this hurricane spared much of the greater Houston area. Lord, we pray for those that have been impacted by the hurricane down in Kima and Sargent, Matagorda County. We pray that you'd help those folks put their property and lives back together, Lord. And insurance, we pray it pays out the way it's supposed to for them. And, Lord, they get the help from FEMA if they need it. And Lord, as this thing has moved over to Louisiana and Mississippi, we pray for those folks as they're trying to recover from Hurricane Ida and everything going on with them. Lord, we praise you that it didn't pound us and really bring a lot of loss of damage and loss of life here. But, Lord, it's dumped a whole lot more rain on people that right now just they probably think they don't need any more rain. So, God, we pray that you help them, encourage them, see them through, Lord, and just help them get past this hurricane season that we find ourselves in. Lord, we're thankful that Miss Sharon is here with us tonight. We're thankful that she's recovering well from her stroke. And, Lord, we just pray that you help her with everything she's got going on with all the different therapies and stuff. And, Lord, we just pray you help her with her balance. And Lord, we pray that this stroke issue would not come back on her and she'd not have another one, Lord, that this would be a one-and-done type deal. And, Lord, that'd be something in our past. Months and years down the road. So, Lord, we're thankful that she's here tonight. We're thankful that Gene's kids are over the COVID. We praise you for that. And, Lord, we pray there not be any lasting health effects or damage or anything, God, that they just come back just the way they were. Lord, we just pray you help them not come down with any kind of secondary viruses or infections as they get over the COVID. Thank you for Jeremiah tonight, Lord, and his desire to further his career and his continuing education. Thank you for giving him the time, the effort, the want to do that. Lord, we pray that you would use him there at his Lone Star College, his employer. And Lord, may he be a witness for you as he seeks to ascend in that organization, learning and growing in his career. Lord, as we come to you tonight with these prayer requests, we lift up the Cootie family to you and Deborah's passing. We pray for their comfort. Lord, we pray that you might help them as they go through this difficult time. And, Lord, we pray that their church, their faith community would just be a support to them and help them. And, Lord, their family would be the hands and feet of Jesus to one another. And, Lord, we just pray that you would see them through during this terrible time of loss. And then Ronnie Holman, Lord, we lift up his physical healing. We pray that, Lord, you touch his body for this cancer and remove this cancer from him. Lord, we pray that you just prepare him and Nancy for this oncology report he'll be receiving the 28th of September. Lord, we just pray that you give him the strength, give her the strength. And Lord, I pray in the midst of all of it, you just bring healing to Ronnie's body and to Ronnie's life. And Lord, he'd give you the praise, the glory, and the honor for healing him. I know he would. So, God, we lift Brother Ronnie up to you this evening. Continue to pray for Paul McCormick. Lord, we're thankful that he's not going to have any chemotherapy, just a chemo tab that he's going to take for a while. And Lord, we pray that the cancer would be done, would be out, would be gone, and that Lord, his stamina would come back, his strength would come back, all these things would come back to him as he gets ready to do the therapy thing. He's got a few more weeks before he completely recovered and can do the therapy. But Lord, we pray his body would just be ready, prepared to do the therapy, Lord, and we pray that there be no more cancer in Brother Paul's life. Lord, we lift up Jean's stepdaughter. We pray for her, Jennifer, tonight. We pray that you give her great wisdom, discernment, as she tries to navigate these personal issues that she finds herself dealing with. And Lord, we just pray that you give Jean and Sharon the words to speak to Jennifer, Lord, to help her make the best decisions if those opportunities arise. We continue to pray for Johnny Hyman tonight. And Lord, we pray for Johnny's life. We pray for Jeanette, his wife. We pray for their family, for Miss Sakura, Lord. We just pray that you keep this family encouraged, and God, you might bring Johnny through this COVID and get him off this vent. Lord, we pray for his kidneys and his organs, and Lord, everything that's going on with being on that ventilator. And Lord, thank you that he had a relatively good night last night. We pray that he just be stable and starts to make improvement to the point where they can take him off the vent and get back to breathing on his own. We pray his lungs would respond to the treatment, his body would respond to the drugs. Pray there be no secondary infections, no secondary viruses. God, we pray you would catch anything there. That Lord, you just begin to bring him now back up out of this being on this ventilator, Lord. We prayed for this lady over at First North Houston for months, Lord, and God, you brought her through and delivered her. And Lord, we're praying for Johnny, and we're believing in the same kind of miracle for him. That you're going to bring him through. He's going to be 100%, Lord. He's not going to have any lasting effects of this. He's going to be 100% when he comes out on the other side. We know Johnny would give you the praise, the glory, and the honor, Lord, for bringing him through. He would give you great testimony for seeing him through this time of COVID in his life. And Lord, we lift up Bridget Zimmerman to you. We pray that her condition does not take a turn for the worse where she has to go to the hospital. Lord, if she does have this pneumonia, we pray you would deliver her from that. And Lord, you'd give the doctors wisdom, discernment on how to treat her, what antibiotic to give her, Lord. And we just pray that you heal her body up quickly. And Lord, just see her through as she struggles right now with the COVID and going today to get a chest x-ray. We just lift up that Zimmerman household and lift up Bridget to you in a specific, special way. And then, Miss Alita, Lord, we are praying that you would open the door to that next post, that next job, that next place of employment. We pray, Lord, you would lead, guide, and direct her, that you would give her great wisdom and discernment on what door to walk through and, Lord, what doors to pass up. And, Lord, we just pray you bring her together with a great place to work, something that will really, really utilize her talents, her gifts and abilities. And Lord, we just pray that you give her direction and wisdom as she seeks where to go and what to do. Lord, we just pray these doors would open up for her. And then Lord, in the midst of all that, we pray for these two cataract surgeries she's going to be having on each eye. And then Lord, this back surgery, we just pray her body be ready, be healthy, and that God should be able to receive these surgeries and get that eyesight back to where it needs to be, and get that back pain gone, Lord, from this back surgery. Lord, we just lift Miss Alita up to you. We just pray that you touch her body, you bring healing to her body, Lord, and you just help her. And then, Lord, as we come to you tonight, we're thankful for our medical professionals, our first responders, Lord, our military. We're thankful for these people. We pray for them. Dear God, we pray for our military all over the world. We pray you protect them, undergird them, strengthen them. We lift up our first responders, Lord, our fire and police and paramedics and all those folks. We pray for their protection. Pray you watch over them, Lord, strengthen them, help them. And Lord, our doctors and nurses' assistants, all our medical professionals right now, Lord, just working as hard as they can work to treat as many people as they can treat. Lord, we pray that you just strengthen them and encourage them down in their souls, down in their hearts. And Lord, just help them keep on keeping on when they feel like they can't go another hour, another day, another week. We pray you just give them that shot of encouragement. Lord, help them see the light at the end of the tunnel, that this thing isn't going to last forever. And God, they just feel revived in their heart, in their soul, that they can do it another day. They can do it another shift. They can do it another week. They can do it another month. Father God, help them. I know many of them are burnt out, about to be burnt out, end of their wits. But Lord, I pray that you just keep them in the fight, keep them encouraged up, Lord, and just help them to continue to do it. We pray for protection, Lord, over our church, over our school, over the Awana program next door, over our youth program. Lord, we just pray a hedge of protection. You keep COVID, keep great sickness, Lord. You keep it away from us. Keep it out of these four walls, all three of these buildings, Lord. And we give you the praise, the glory, the honor that we've not had anybody personally in this church. Many people have come down with COVID, Lord, but nobody's been hospitalized in this church. Nobody's been put on a vent in this church, Lord. And we give you the praise and the glory and the honor for that. And, Lord, we pray that that would continue, that we would be wise And Lord, you would just protect us, God, protect us. Lord, as we open your word tonight, we're thankful for it. And Lord, we pray that our hearts and minds would be open to receive it. We give you the praise and the glory and the honor for it. It's in your name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Take your Bibles and turn to Revelation chapter 14. We'll begin reading here in verse 6. I'll invite you to stand in honor of the reading of the inerrant word of God. How many folks do we have with us online tonight? All right. It looks like 10. You're holding up 10 many? All right. Folks online, good to have you with us tonight. We're in Revelation chapter 14, verse 6. And we'll take it through verse 11. Amen. Revelation 14, beginning in verse 6. Have you found it this evening? All right, Revelation 14, verse 6. We'll take it through verse 11. The Word of God reads this: I saw another angel flying in mid-heaven, having an eternal gospel to preach to those who live on the earth, and to every nation and tribe and tongue and people. And he said with a loud voice, "Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come. Worship him who made the heaven and the earth and sea and springs of waters." And another angel, a second one, followed, saying, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon the great, she who has made all the nations drink of the wine of the passion of her immorality." Then another angel, a third one, followed them, saying with a loud voice, "If anyone worships the beast in his image and receives a mark on his forehead or on his hand, he also will drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is mixed in full strength in the cup of his anger. And he will be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment goes up forever and ever. They have no rest day and night, those who worship the beast in his image and whoever receives the mark of his name." Thank you all for standing in honor of the reading of the holy and inerrant word of God, and may he add his tremendous blessing to it. Now, we're talking about angels speaking, right? And we kicked this off Sunday night at the end of our Bible study time on Sunday evening. The title of this little kind of mini-series in the midst of all this, all of these paragraphs of Scripture are kind of little mini-series as we go through the book of Revelation, but this is three angels speak. Keen sense of the obvious. There's three angels. They're speaking here. So three angels speak, right? Sunday night, we ended introducing verses 6 through 11 of chapter 14. And we said, judgment and revelation do what? That they go hand in hand. Revelation, judgment. Judgment, revelation. As we go through this great book on the end times, much of Revelation speaks about the coming judgments. You can't get away from it. You read Revelation, you read it in black and white, you go through it, you backwards. I mean, you see it over and over and over, the coming judgments, right? Now, we've already covered chapters 6 through 11, whose primary focus was judgments. And when we get to chapters 15 through 19, that major theme is going to be judgment. It's going to pick right back up again. Between these two sections of chapters here, between these two sections of Scripture on judgment, is where we have found ourselves over the last several weeks and months in chapters 12 through 14, as we are now in the middle of chapter 14. And what do we say about these 12, 13, and 14? 12, 13, and 14 kind of form an interlude, a parenthetical statement, if you will, kind of gives us a little break from the judgment, right? Now, you'll remember chapter 12 and 13 have been seen to recount the events of the tribulation from whose perspective? Who? Can't hear you? I'm hard of hearing. Did you say the devil? Satan's. Amen. That's right. That's what's going on in those two verses, right? 12 and 13. Now, chapter 14 returns to what God is going to do. So in three visions, this text previews the remaining judgments of the tribulation and then the return of Christ. The first vision, verses 1 through 5, we spent several weeks going through that. That was the 144,000 Jewish evangelists who will appear with the Lord Jesus Christ on Mount Zion at His second coming. Before us, the second vision, verses 6 through 11, is the record in which judgment is proclaimed by three angelic messengers. So, three angels are going to speak, right? We're going to look at each angel speaking individually. And so before we jump off into that, let's talk a little bit about what angels were and what they did. So a little review on angels, or an introduction on angels if you're not up on the angelic realm. Right. Angels serve throughout Scripture as God's what? What do they do for God? Messengers. That is correct. Angels throughout Scripture are God's messengers. The Greek word angelos, in the Greek we get our English word angel, literally means a messenger. Angels were instrumental in giving the Mosaic Law. They've always been messengers, right? Acts 7:38, the Word of God reads, "This is the one who was in the congregation in the wilderness together with the angel who was speaking to him on Mount Sinai and who was with our fathers, and he received living oracles to pass on to you." Acts chapter 7, verse 38. Now, angels also brought messages to individuals, right? If you read through the Old Testament and into the New Testament, you find that over and over again, there are individual people that have received messages from angels. Daniel comes to mind, right? Zacharias in the New Testament, Luke's Gospel, comes to mind. Mary, of course, the mother of Christ, comes to mind. Joseph also comes to mind in the New Testament. The shepherds, right? Philip, and of course, the Apostle Paul, right? Angels also minister and care for believers. We think about when the angel came and got Peter out of prison, right? Knocked him around a little bit. Get up, man. We got to go. Right? Takes care of believers. Angels, they bring messages to individuals. They bring messages to God's people. Angels will play a major role. Pardon me tonight. Angels will play a major role in the end time events. Now, what do you mean by that? Well, they're going to gather the lost for judgment. They're going to gather the lost folks up for judgment. Per Matthew chapter 13, 41 through 42, Matthew chapter 13, verses 49 through 50. They will also gather the saved for glory. Matthew chapter 24, verse 31. They're kind of at the back part of the book of Matthew. They will accompany, angels will accompany the Lord Jesus Christ when he returns to the earth in triumph. Again, Matthew's Gospel, 25, 31. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7. In Revelation, angels are involved in the outpouring of God's wrath, per 8:6, per 11:15, per 16, verse 1. Angels, angels, angels. The three angels described in verses 6 through 11 do not bring judgment. Instead, they bring astounding proclamations from God concerning the consummation of the age. Instead, they address issues and events that stretch across the tribulation period. Their messages anticipate the judgment of the seventh trumpet. Now, take your Bibles. We've looked at this before, but you've got to be up on this, because if you're not, you'll get confused. What's going on? I don't get it. Revelation chapter 11, verse 15. The Word of God reads in 11:15. Have you found it? Found it? Yes, yes, maybe. 11:15. I'll let you get there. Tell me when you're there. One there? Two there? Anybody else there? Revelation 11:15. Three there? 11:15. The Word of God reads, "Then the seventh angel sounded. There were loud voices in heaven saying," the seventh trumpet, 11:15, right? Now, that seventh trumpet doesn't get going until when? Chapter 15. Chapter 15 and 16, actually, right? So, the seventh trumpet includes the six bowl judgments. that we find in chapter 16. So, their messages anticipate the judgment of the seventh trumpet, which includes the final, climactic, rapid-fire, bold judgments at the end of the tribulation. So, with that said thus far, what do we think? We're not sovereign, we're not God, way above our pay grade. But what do you think? What do we think God is trying to do? What do we think God is trying to accomplish? What do we think God is wanting the people on earth to see by giving these three angels and their messages? What's going on here? Repent, you say? Okay. What else? What else? His love. Okay. Anybody else got a 2 cents in there? What's God doing with these three angelic messengers? Be the question. What do you think God's trying to do? Repent, love. Anybody else? Okay. Amen. You guys are heading in the very right and good direction. God is seeking, because of His love, God is seeking to offer grace. But He's offering grace, when you read those three angels, yeah, it's a warning. When you read those three angels, it's a little fearful, right? He's trying to offer grace through fear. Trying to offer grace through fear. Now, hellfire damnation preaching has fallen way off. It's kind of fallen off the map, so to speak. You probably find it, it's still out there, but it's few and far between. Certainly the big mega churches don't participate or practice that. But there's something to be said about telling people there's a hell, and that if they don't repent and get saved, they're going to end up there. Yeah, that's honest, right? I mean, that's honest. That's just being honest with people. You say, well, Pastor, you know, you tell people that, and that elicits fear. That's okay if fear moves you, if the Holy Spirit wants to use fear in your life to bring you under the convicting power that you confess your sin and then receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. That's been a pattern all throughout Scripture, receiving grace because of fear. Now, here we are in 2021, and we think we're all that in a bag of chips, and, you know, we're not to be afraid, and da-da-da-da-da, and we've got all this technology and all this stuff, and humanity thinks that they're in control, and humanity's not. God's in control. And so we think more of ourselves than we should, I think is what I'm trying to say. And so don't push this away. Don't push this away. God is, He's trying to offer grace. That's the bonus. That's the praise the Lord part. But He's going to do that through fear. He's going to offer grace through fear so that the lost about to be judged, because He doesn't want anybody really to be judged, the lost about to be judged might experience saving faith. Now, I'll give you a couple of passages of Scripture here, those of you online, those of you here with me this evening. Luke chapter 12, verse 5. Luke 12, 5 says, "But I will warn you whom to fear. Fear the one who after he has killed has authority to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him." That's the gospel writer Luke. Luke chapter 12, verse 5. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 31. Says, "It is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God." All right? Now, we can take the fear thing a little too far. We can take little kids that don't have an understanding of what sin is, and we can try to scare them into making a religious decision and not a Holy Spirit convicted decision. That would be wrong, right? But for somebody that can grasp and understand that they are a sinner, this approach to offering them grace by building a case that they should be afraid, I mean, that's out there. That's in the Bible. That's That's basic to the Word of God. Now, the first angel, he preaches the gospel. The second angel, he pronounces judgment. And the third, he tells folks that damnation is coming. That the damnation is coming. So we're going to take it with the first angel here tonight and see how far we can get. The first angel preaches the gospel, verses 6 and 7. And I saw another angel flying in mid-heaven, having an eternal gospel to preach to those who live on the earth, and to every nation and tribe and tongue and people. And he said with a loud voice, "Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come. Worship him who made the heaven and the earth and sea and springs of waters." Amen. Everybody good with that? Everybody understand what we're doing here, verses 6 and 7? The preaching angel, like the 144,000 evangelists, the preaching angel will be, you won't be able to defeat him. You won't be able to, the demonic won't be able to get him. Satan won't be able to turn him off, take him down, tune him out, destroy him. No how, no way. This preaching angel will be unreachable. The world's view of him will be unobstructed, and his ministry will be unhindered. We see the phrase here, it says, flying in mid-heaven. Where in the world is mid-heaven? From the Greek word, this refers to the point in the sky where the sun reaches its meridian, where the sun reaches its apex, where the sun reaches its high point at noon. From that point, the angel would be most visible to those on the earth and also beyond the reach of the Antichrist, as well as Satan and his demon host, whose activity will be at that time restricted to the earth. See the beauty. When Satan and his demonic, when they lose access in heaven, when they can no longer accuse the brethren, the beauty of this is they're chunked down for good and totality to the earth. Now, that passage, we studied that in detail, Revelation chapter 12, verse 7 through 9. And as we think about that, you may be wondering, well, Pastor, what about the battle? Because there is a battle. If we could pull the veil even here, if we could pull the veil away even here and see into that other worldly or spiritual dimension, there's a battle between holy angels and the demonic for the souls of humanity. As these folks are watching online, and these folks are got their Bibles open, and they're seeking to receive the Word of God tonight, if there's somebody in the midst of their household that doesn't know Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior, I'm telling you, you pull back the veil, you open that other spiritual dimension, and there will be a battle in that space, in that time and space, however that is, however that works, but there will be a battle for the soul of humanity or the souls of humanity that are located. So we come together on Sunday morning, we have more people here. There's a possibility that more people in the congregation are not saved, do not know the Lord. Billy Graham used to say that about a fourth of the folks in any given service were saved. That leaves about 75% that are not. You say, Pastor, that's just a huge amount. I know. I'm not Billy Graham. I didn't say it. He did. But I'm just telling you, there is a battle for the hearts and minds, for the souls of men that go on just outside of our vision. Just outside of our perception. You say, man, you're making that up. No, I'm not. Just read the Bible. You figure it out. You'll figure it out. You study the Bible long enough. Now, what about that battle that you're talking about that currently rages in the heavenlies between the holy angels and the demons for the souls of men? What about that? Is that still going on during the tribulation? I mean, wouldn't they be able to get this gospel preaching angel that way because there's that battle? That spiritual battle that I'm referring to, that's alluded to in Daniel's book, Daniel's prophecy, chapter 10, verses 10 through 14. That spiritual battle that is referenced in Ephesians 6:12 says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces, of this darkness against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. This spiritual battle that's also alluded to in Jude verse 9. But Michael the archangel, when he disputed with the devil and argued about the body of Moses, did not dare pronounce against him a railing judgment, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." That part of the spiritual warfare will have already ended. That's not going on anymore. You say, why is that going? It's not going on anymore for the same passage I gave you earlier, Revelation chapter 12, verses 7 through 9. He is what? He and his demonic horde are relegated to this ground, to this earth. He'll not get up in the air. He will not get this gospel-preaching angel. Everybody understand that? Based on the Word of God, that's where we have to take it there. Now, understand the context of these three angels preaching, certainly the first one that we're trying to cover. By the time the angel begins his ministry, the world will have suffered the incredible devastation of the seal and trumpet judgments. Those things have already been opened, have already happened. The consequences of those judgments have already fallen on the earth and on countless people. Relentless holocausts will have rocked the globe, and the familiarity of the stable heavens will have become a disintegrating source of terror for Revelation chapter 6, verses 12 through 14. Things are falling out of the sky is what I'm saying. You're looking up and, hey, man, beautiful blue sky. And, boy, man, look at that beautiful sunrise. And, hey, man, look at those wispy clouds. And look at that beautiful sea breeze blowing in off of the Gulf. That's long gone. You're looking up at the sky and there's hellfire and brimstone, right? The familiar, stable heavens will have become a disintegrating source of terror. Now, during this time, the unbelieving world will have heard gospel preaching already. This gospel preaching angel is not, he's not the first act. He's here at the end. He's batting cleanup. They've already heard the 144,000 Jewish evangelists. They've already heard the two witnesses. They've already heard countless thousands of others that have gotten saved and that have spoken from the rooftop, some of them to their death, nonetheless, but they've heard countless others speak of the gospel. Now, despite all the gospel preaching, and it's going to be powerful preaching during the tribulation, despite all the gospel preaching, most of the earth's population will still reject the gospel. Revelation chapter 9, verses 20 through 21, Revelation 16, verse 9, Revelation 16, verse 11. But God is a God of grace. Gene talked about His love. Thus, God graciously sends this powerful angel to proclaim to them the gospel yet one more time. One more time. He's going to do it again. He's going to send them the gospel message one more time. Well, when you say the gospel message, what are you talking about specifically? We're talking about the eternal gospel. The eternal gospel preached by the angel is the same one proclaimed throughout all of history. Nothing has changed with the gospel. This preached gospel is the good news of forgiveness. It is the good news of having a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. It is the good news of eternal life. It is good news of spending it all with the Lord, all with God the Father in a place called heaven. It's the good news of the marriage supper of the Lamb. It's the good news. I mean, it's good news. Now, he will declare that people are sinners. This angel will. He will tell them that they're facing eternal judgment in hell. But that God has provided, even though they're facing judgment in hell, that God has provided atonement for sins through the sacrificial death and the shedding of blood of the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross. Now, this eternal gospel was given at the beginning of the story of redemption, this eternal gospel, just as it will be given at the end of the tribulation. It was given at the beginning of redemption. It will be given at the end of the tribulation. That message of forgiveness was even given in the Old Testament times based on new covenant terms. Now, you understand that there's a covenant of law in the Old Testament and a covenant of blood in the New Testament, right? Covenant of grace in the New Testament, covenant of law in the Old Testament, right? Two different covenants, right? Two different systems. But how were people saved in the Old Testament? They were saved by faith, looking towards the cross. We're saved here in the church age by looking back to the cross. They were looking forward, we're looking back at, right? Both groups of people have to express what? Have to express faith. Amen? They have to exercise faith. Take your Bibles and turn with me just real quick. We're talking about that the message of forgiveness was given even in Old Testament times based on new covenant terms. I want you to just see it in Jeremiah chapter 31. Jeremiah 31, let me know when you're there. Those of you online, Jeremiah 31, we'll be looking at 31 and 34. Two minutes left. Jeremiah 31. You got it? Amen? Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 31. Behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant. See that there? A new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not like the covenant which I made with their fathers in the day I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant which they broke, although I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. But this is the covenant which I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, declares the Lord, I will put my law within them, and on their heart I will write it. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. They will not teach again each man his neighbor and each man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they will all know me. From the least of them to the greatest of them, declares the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity. Notice the forgiveness there. I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more. Now take your Bibles and turn to Ezekiel, prophet Ezekiel, chapter 36. Tell me when you find it. It's not too far. From Jeremiah, Ezekiel 36. You there? 36? Ezekiel 36, verse 25 through 27. Word of God reads, and I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. Moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will be careful to observe my ordinances. In the Old Testament, the benefits of the gospel were applied to all who truly repented and sought forgiveness and grace from God, even though the Savior had not yet died. They're looking towards the cross. We are simply looking back at the cross. So, in the purpose of God, the victory over death and sin provided by the Lamb slain at Calvary has been granted to all who have truly repented in all ages. In all ages. Matthew chapter 24, verse 14, speaks to what will be happening. The Word of God, and I used to take this out of context, but this is tribulation stuff. This is not before the rapture stuff. This is after, this is at the end of it, right? Matthew 24, 14, I used to take this passage out of context. I'm not going to do it anymore. Matthew 24, 14 is about tribulation. This is what it says. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come. The angel preaching where he can't be touched, the angel preaching, where everybody can sing. The angel preaching, how does he do it, Pastor? I don't know, above my pay grade. He goes back and forth, certainly, over the land masses, over the different island chains. He's seen. He's available. He speaks. He speaks their language when it's necessary. He is going to cover the rest of everything else in the world that has not experienced the 144,000, that has not experienced the two witnesses, that has not experienced their converts that have also preached. This angel's going to be batting the cleanup. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached. Matthew 24:14. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come. And the church says, if we leave it there, amen? It's 8 o'clock. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Those of you online, thank you for being here. We're going to redeem the time and call it a night. That's a good place to end. But it's all about the what. It's what Pastor Lee keeps on talking about, all about the gospel. What do you got, brother? Oh my goodness. Okay. This is Kinsey and Brent. I got that right. Okay. We'll pray for them as we close. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. And Lord, as we continue to pray for Ms. Sharon and her foot, Lord, and her upcoming foot surgery, Lord, and her rehabilitation, we pray for her, Lord, as she's there in the hospital, Lord, she's concerned for her family. And we lift up Kinsey and Brent to you tonight. And Lord, we pray for their COVID condition. And Lord, in the midst of not having insurance, Lord, we pray for their health. And Lord, we pray that you might touch their bodies. And God, we pray right now that they just have a sense in their minds and in their hearts that they're being prayed for and lifted up. And Lord, I pray that they would lean upon you, God, that they would pray themselves for their own personal healing as we pray for their healing as well. And Lord, we pray for a miracle, for a testimony, for a touch, Lord, from you on these two people, God, that you would see them through and bring them through this COVID infection, this virus. God, help them get over it and help them get through it. And Lord, we pray that on the backside of this, that they would give you the praise and the glory and the honor for what you've done for them. Thank you for Ms. Sharon and wanting to pray for our family. And Lord, I pray that we as a congregation would join her in lifting her family up tonight. And Lord, even through the rest of this week and into next week, as you bring them upon our mind, may we continue to pray for them. Lord, give us safety as we leave here tonight. Thank you, God, that we can gather again and get some ground covered in the book of Revelation. Lord, I'm trying to review and cover new ground and review and cover new ground. And Lord, I pray that with the limited time we have, that there's some continuity to it and people can put the snippets together in their heart and in their mind. And Lord, your Holy Spirit will allow them to get some things out of this, God. I pray they're getting stuff out of it. And it's helping them. It's helping them understand end times. And Lord, it's helping them understand who they are in Christ. And Lord, the more we learn about you, the more we love you. Truth breeds love. Truth breeds fellowship and intimacy, God. And so I pray that we just continue to receive the truth, attempt to live the truth, and just thank you for the truth. Give us safety as we leave here tonight, Lord. We praise you. It's in your name we pray. And everybody said, amen. All right. Folks are dismissed. Good night, online folks. We'll see you next time.